Recently, I had to make a decision. A capital D decision. And that decision came because of a different capital D decision that I haven't talked about yet. Let's talk about both of those decisions today. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The newest capital D decision is changing how I store video files from all of these tape digitizations that I've been doing for the last year. On the advice of a whole band of people, I was using a format called Lagarith, which is lossless, which means all of the different bits being generated by the digitizer are being accounted for. There's no bits being thrown aside, lossy formats that take away video data we might want for the future. Now, all of it goes in, and there's a lot of it. Even with compression, Lagarith takes about 45 to 50 gigabytes every hour. There's a sense of having something historical saved and preserved completely when your files are so large. But point of fact, it's probably not necessary. I don't want to go to lossy formats. I'm very happy preserving all of the bits. But I went back to the experts and I asked the question, is there a format that maybe takes a little bit less space while not being much worse? And the answer is, there is. It's called FFV1. It's been around for 19 years, and it's created by the creators of FFmpeg, one of the main engines of video compression out there. Not only does it work, not only is it a standard, and not only can it be worked with, it actually takes up one-third the space of Lagarith. Something that used to be 45 gigabytes now finds itself at 15. That adds up. So, in the future, as part of the workflow, these finished Lagarith files will be recompressed into the FFV1 format and then uploaded to the Internet Archive. For the files that are already there, I'll be having a machine spending the painful process of downloading the full-size Lagarith file, recompressing it in the smaller format, and then putting it back up, allowing me, with a human look, to make sure that everything happened as it was supposed to before getting rid of the much larger original. This will get back terabytes, and, in the future, save many hundreds of terabytes as I generate more and more video. Because, as I found out recently, the 8,000 tapes from Michigan have arrived in the physical archive and are awaiting further instructions. To be able to digitize 8,000 videotapes, everything that I can possibly automate needs to be automated. I need to have instructions and rules on how to tell if things worked properly, and I have to have a system for dealing with errors, verification, and uploads. In fact, there may have to be somebody hired to do this work. I don't see myself keeping track of 10 or 20 tape decks at once, digitizing as fast as I can, digitizing 100 tapes a day, day in and day out, trying to process this massive pile in a timely fashion. I am barreling towards a tape apocalypse, the need to create a whole system for processing tapes that takes me out of the equation. The work I'm doing is fun, it's complicated, but point of fact, I can be replaced by a 3-ring binder with the instructions of what to do in various situations. What to do if the tape is too broken, or if it jams the tape machine. What to do if the video isn't good signal, or the resulting file needs to have its ends chopped off before being compressed. All of this is teachable, understandable, and frankly, should be somebody's job. Somebody young, just starting out, being paid to keep track of a bunch of decks doing their work while themselves catching moments on a phone or an audiobook, watching all of these machines process, digitize, and finish. This should be a beginner's job, and it most certainly should be compensated. That's what I'm facing down from this massive pile. I've processed over 1,000 tapes at this point, nearing in towards 2,000, and with that sort of work to face down, I want it done. I want to push these off of the table, get them out of the to-do list, and get them in front of people who will find value in discovery, research, and reuse of this bounty of video. It's a good plan to have. It's only sketched out now. No logistics, no optimizations, review, working with others, finding where the big problems are and fixing them. Providing a work environment by renting space that a person can be comfortable in, to be able to broadcast or stream what's happening so that people feel they're part of it, especially if they're funding it. And then using technologies like optical character recognition or voice recognition to figure out how all of this can be searchable, visually, by text descriptions, and maybe by reading subtitles. Because otherwise, it's just a pile of indiscriminate video, whose value may otherwise never be unlocked. And all of this plays into my other Big D decision. It is my goal, my roughly sketched out goal, to be out of the archiving and digitizing business by the time I'm 60. Right now, I'm 52 years old. I've been doing some sort of digitizing, either typing things in, using a scanner or a reader or a videotape machine, for almost 40 years. And I don't think, honestly, I need to do it much longer. The point is made. At the time that I started in my teens, I was going after realms of digital culture that I thought had no advocate. Bulletin board system text files, shareware, and weird underground zines that I thought, if I didn't do something about it, nobody would. All of those days are long past. Hundreds of items that I myself would have taken the effort to get online are showing up at the Internet Archive. I don't expect that to slow down anytime soon. We're going to find ourselves with untold amounts of data. And wrangling that data is something that others really need to be doing. What I'd rather be doing is traveling, spending time with people. I'd rather not lock myself in a hot room, turning something analog to digital, knowing full well that there's people out there who could really make it all happen. This could all be something that somebody makes extra income doing and providing the data to the public as a result. I want my gear removed from the machine, and 8 years seems just enough time to do it. Thanks to, once again in my life, saying yes in too many directions, I have 2 or 3 shipping containers worth of material sitting within the Internet Archive. I think those can be processed. I think I can move through them or train others to do the work as well as I would have. I think this is something I need to focus on for my own health, for my own energy, and for my own priority. Nothing's worse than doing something because you feel you have to and nobody else will do it. Painting yourself into a corner of responsibility is dangerous and actually untrue. I want to be a mentor, an associate, an advisor. I'm not overly interested in being a manager, but I will give people instructions if they ask for it. I think this is the way to go for me. It's been a very long time coming, so I think maybe looking at this nearly impossible pile of incoming videotapes, audio tapes, papers, and software, I can begin to crawl towards the light at the end of the tunnel. And while man plans and God laughs, I think both of my decisions and the plans behind them have a pretty fair shot of success. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, James Bekoianu, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sam Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Symbionts, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Here's to plans, logistics, and the dreams beyond.